skies, the sun shining, the cool day, and we didn't deserve to wake up to that day today. What we deserve was that we woke up and God be pouring hellfire and brimstone down upon this sinful world, but He didn't, because He's been good to us, and He loves us, and He cares about us. And man, we ought to be thankful. You know, it's the month of Thanksgiving, and we ought to just have an attitude of gratitude the whole month, not just on that day, but every day this month, be thankful. And if you want to change your life radically, I would tell you this: just be overly thankful for everything God's given you, and try to thank Him every day for something small or something specific that maybe you overlook, and it'll change your life in a drastic way. Matthew chapter 21 this morning. Jesus has been battling the Pharisees in our walk through Matthew, had been battling them on their intentions, on His authority, and on what truth was. And in the midst of that battle, we approach this passage of Scripture today. It says in verse number 28, He said, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, 'The first.' And Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you today. And God, you have been good to us, as that song was just sung. And God, you've been blessed us beyond our wildest dreams. Man, if we even went back 100 years, our great grandparents, they saw what we had, God, and how you blessed us. God, you've blessed us with yourself and with your Spirit and your Word. And God, help us today and this month to be grateful people, to not complain and to murmur about things when they don't go our way, but God, that we would be grateful for all that you've given us. God, be with us today as we walk in the Scriptures. I pray that you would shine the light on it. I pray that the Spirit of God would make it real and alive to us. And God, that we would be the type of children that would be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we love you today, and we want to praise the name of Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. You know, as we look at this, Jesus gives a parable of a father and two sons. And the first thing we see today in our passage is that the father came with a call to work. He came to his two sons, both of them individually, and says, "Son, I want you to go and work in my vineyard, work in the fields that I have before us, and go put in the labor that we need." And I want you to know today that God today has a call for us to work. He has called every believer, every child of God, to go into the work of God. We truly are all here today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, let me tell you a couple of things you might not have known. Number one, you're His disciple. You're His disciple. And when we think of the 12 disciples and we think of the apostles, I want you to know that's who you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be one of those followers. You're supposed to be one of those ones who have committed their life to following Jesus Christ. And when we look through the pages of Scriptures of the Gospels, we find men and women that forsook all and followed after Jesus Christ. That's who we're supposed to be. And we're also today, whether you know it or not, you're a missionary. You know, when Jesus told them to go into the uttermost parts of the world, well, we're there, amen. You know, at one time this was the uttermost parts of the earth. That started over there, and then they came over here. And we think that, I don't know why we read it, we think that He's talking about just us. Well, we already came here, but I want you to know that you and I are missionaries here We are supposed to be promoting and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ in our families and in our communities, on our jobs. We've been called to do that. So we've been called to work. And when I think about that word work, and for us to labor, I want you to know that it's not an easy thing. The reason why some of us might not be doing the work that God has called us to do is because it is a hard work. We're supposed to labor in the Word. You know why it's hard to read your Bible? Because it's hard work. And you say, well, what do you mean that we're supposed to work in reading the Scriptures? Well, I know some of you here today and say, well, I don't like to read. Well, I want to tell you what God revealed Himself primarily through this book. And so if you want to hear from God, I know every one of you today, if I gave you something on your phone or a CD or something and said, here, God's got a message for you on there. Everybody would go and play it and hear what it has. Well, I want you to know God's got a message for you today. And it's in the pages of this book. And every single day you can open it up and you can read and you can find out what God wants and has to say to you on any given day. But it's a labor to be in God's Word. It's a labor to meditate on the Scriptures. It's a labor to memorize the Scriptures. And I'm like a lot of other people. You know, Brother David was giving devotion this morning and he said, you know, I can't quote the verse, but Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me ask you a question. How would your Bible be today if we took away that Bible and the only Bible you had was the Bible of your mind? How much of God's Word have we committed to memory? And I'm saying you don't have to maybe know the Scripture and the reference or that, but how much can we just say, hey, I know what God's Word said. I know what it says. And so it's important. The psalmist said this. He said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we have to labor to put the Word of God in us. You know, the Holy Spirit, what He likes to do is He likes to recall God's Word to us. I like to pray God's Word back to God. And we need to labor in putting God's Word in our minds and hearts. Because let me tell you this. Whatever you put in your mind is going to shape who you are. And what better thing to put in our mind than God's Word? It's no question and no wonder why our culture is in the state it's in, because we live in a culture today where people are biblically illiterate. Now, I know maybe not to you, and you say, well, I've been in church my whole life. I want you to know our culture hadn't been in church their whole life. Our culture is an unchurched culture, and culture Christianity is dead. And so we got to work in the Word. I want you to know that worship is work, too. And when you say, well, what do you mean by that? It's work to pray. It's a labor to pray. I'm confessing to you today. I have like zero problem reading the Bible. A, I like to read. So I like reading books and I like reading articles and I used to love to read the paper. Remember that? Remember they used to have a thing called the paper. And it used to come to people's houses and we would open it and the ink would get on your hands. And I used to love to read that thing. And I used to want to be the holdout who said, I'm still going to read the paper. I don't do it anymore, you know, but it's just too easy to read it on your phone now. But I like to read. So I have zero problem reading the Bible. I like to read it. Prayer is not the same way. It's hard for me to pray. It's a labor. I don't know. I know it's a spiritual thing. I know that the devil doesn't want us to pray, because when we pray, we can have what God can do. When I pray, I set the stage for God to do things. When I pray, I summon God to my side and to my aid. He said, we have not because we ask not. But I struggle with prayer, and it is a work. It is not an easy thing for me to do. And I think that there are some here that can relate to that, that prayer is not easy for them. And a lot of times we're going to look tonight at King David, how he asked God what he should do time and time again. And sometimes I just do what I think we should do. And I just make decisions. I just go forward without ever even asking God, because I just think I know what he wants me to do. Prayer is difficult. It's hard to trust Him. It's hard to have faith. It's hard to have these things that it takes in worship. You know, we talked earlier about Sunday, and it takes work to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. I understand that we all ought to come, and man, our attitude ought to be great. We ought to be thankful and all those things. But the devil attacks folks on Sunday morning. Everybody here knows that. Amen. If you're going to get sick, you'll get sick on Sunday morning. If you know, one of the kids will get sick, if a hot water heater is going to go out, it's going to go out on Saturday night. Or if the fridge is going to go out, it'll go out on Sunday morning. So we know the devil don't want you here. And he doesn't want you hearing God's word. And he doesn't want you here worshiping. He don't want you here around other believers. And so it's a work. And then I would say, too, it's a work to witness. Witnessing ain't easy. Sharing with people about Jesus is not easy. Inviting people to church, even as simple as that is not easy. You know, I shared with them during announcements, and they'll be here next week, and we were kind of cutting it close on this, but going forward, we'll be okay. We got 6 big days here a year that we're going to focus on inviting people to come to. Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Mission Sunday, Easter, the Family Day Barbecue, and Homecoming. Now, I understand we've got more than, you know, there's more holiday, but that's our 6, okay? And what's going to be here next week is going to be these cards, and it's going to say, you are invited to our Thanksgiving celebration, and it's got the church time, address and the date and everything, and it's a little postcard. And here's my challenge to you. Take one card and invite somebody to church and give them that card. Okay? That's my challenge to you. Take one card and invite somebody to church and give them that card. We're going to have Christmas Eve service for the first time ever. We've never had one. And, you know, I know there's a lot of stuff, people busy and all this other stuff, but we're going to have a service on Christmas Eve. We're going to have Christmas Eve. We're having them invite cards. Take the card. Invite one person to church. It's the work of God that we've called to do. He told us to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. And let me ask you a question. Who you think in your own mind? Who's the last person that I invited to church? Who's the last person that I had a conversation with about the gospel? Who's the last person I talked to about Jesus? If you are not intentional about it, it will not happen. That's what I hope these cards will do for us, that if I take it, I'm now accountable to invite somebody to church. And look, just take one, okay? We don't want you to take 25 and they still be in your cup holder come Christmas, you know, or they're under your seat and we're just throwing them out when we clean our car out. Just take one and invite one. Say, hey, I invited my one. And you know what you can do, too? We don't care about this. You can invite that person to Thanksgiving. And listen, there's no rule against inviting them back for Christmas. Amen. So if you got the one you want to keep inviting, you keep inviting them until they come. And so we want to do that. But it's a work. We've got to be evangelistic. We have to reach out. We have to preach the gospel. We've got to disciple people. That's what we've got to do. And so it's the work. It is not easy to do it. Well, let's look at these two sons, and I think we kind of, maybe all at times, can fit into one of these two. The first son, he said to go into the fields and work, and he said this. He said, I will not go. I will not go. He said, no. You know, there's going to be people that we invite to come to church, and that call that God's given us to come and follow me, and work in the field, and there's going to be a lot of people who says, I will not go. Is anybody here the person who used to be invited to church and you just said this, I will not go? I will not go. You say, well, why did this son say, I won't go? I won't do it. Well, I think a few reasons. Number one is he could have just been rebellious. There are those that just like to be a rebel. They like to say, I will not be swayed by what anyone else thinks. I will not go to church because other people go to church. I will not have my life dictated by anyone else. Jesus Christ, God, you, or anyone else. I will not do what someone else tells me to do. I can relate to that a little bit. We don't like to be told what to do. And when somebody tells us what to do or how to do or whatever the case may be, you know, it can get under our skin. I confess to you today, I went and I took some Little League basketball forms to some schools to pass out to the children. Doesn't that sound good? And I took those Little League basketball forms to this school, and I talked to the secretary. I said, "Ma'am, I've got Little League basketball registration forms. Could y'all just send these home with the children?" And she said, "Did you get this approved?" And I said, "No, I did not get it approved." She said, "We cannot pass these out until you get it approved." And I said, and it did not make me feel good. And I said, bureaucratic red tape at its finest right here. You know, I said, I didn't bring a bunch of brownies for the kids to eat. It's a simple form, you know. But the point is, it was just a simple request by her to get it approved. And I didn't like it, because we don't like it when people tell us what to do. And maybe he was just rebellious. And maybe you know a little bit about being rebellious and just don't like when someone tells you what to do. You know, another thing, I think some people are fearful. They didn't know what it would be. When you're called to follow Christ, we don't know what the future holds. I always say this about those that surrender to preach. Everybody that surrenders to preach thinks God's going to send them to Africa to be a church planter, and they don't want to do that, right? They're so fearful. Oh, my goodness, God's going to call us to be a missionary, and we're going to have to go around the world. Well, we don't know what God's going to do. And there are some people who won't come to church because they don't even know what to expect. They don't know what to wear. They don't know where they'll sit. They don't, you know, and some of it can be, you know, if they're not used to it, can be a little odd. To us, it's normal. I mean, to us, it's normal. We're Bible Belt. We're Washington Parish. We've been raised in church. But imagine just coming in and say, "Everybody stand. We're going to sing together today." They're like, "What in the world? We're going to stand and sing along? What is this?" You know, so they're fearful. They don't even know what's going on. They don't know what God might require them to change. I don't know about that. And so people are fearful and don't want to do. You know, when I even know some of y'all, when I said, "Hey, we're going to have an invite card. Take one card." Some of you are like, "An invite card? My goodness, if I invite someone, they might reject the card, or that I might look like, they might think I'm a crazy person who's inviting them to church." And all this, you know, we're just fearful. And by the way, I want you to know that God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Those fears come from the enemy to say, "Oh, this is going to be bad." You know, some people, let's just say, are flat out, we can be flat out lazy. It's hard, and so I don't want to do it. Man, reading the Bible is hard, so I don't want to do it. Praying is hard, so I don't want to pray. Getting up out of bed on this Sunday morning is hard, so I'm just going to stay in bed. You know, Laura was talking to me yesterday about, you know, they run marathons. Most marathons are ran on Sunday. She said, "I don't know why they run them on Sunday." I said, "Because the world doesn't care about Sunday. It's the other Saturday now." But it's hard. Witnessing to people is hard. All this stuff is hard. And so because it's hard, and by the way, Jesus called people to follow him, and there was a guy come one time and said, "Hey, I want to follow you." Jesus said, "Hold up a minute. It's going to be hard. So are you ready to do this? Are you ready to follow me?" Some of us don't want to do nothing because it's hard. And I can relate to that too. You know what I like? You know what I like? I like easy. Give me the easiest way. Give me the easiest path. Just set me on the easy street and let me ride down the road. I get it, but that is not the work of God. It's hard. And I would say this, some people are just worldly. They love the things of the world. We live in a world that's becoming increasingly, can I say, more sinful, and also less tolerant of Christian views and what we think is right. And I think about what people drinking and what people do with marriage these days, and also it's just worse than it's ever been. And some people don't want to come to the church because they're going to hear that maybe something they're doing is wrong. And it's worldly, and we've been called to be different. So I don't know why this son said he wouldn't go, but it says, but he repented, and then he went. You know, all of us at times can be like that, but let me tell you what the key to the Christian life is today. It is repentance. It's repentance. It's the key. It's the key to success today. Hey, number one, you got to repent to be saved anyway. He calls us to confess our sins and forsake our sins and to get forgiveness of our sins and to move forward. But guess what? All those characteristics, rebellious and lazy and worldly and all those things, I can fit all those things. You know what God calls me to do? To repent and to do right. And you know what? If you're here today, let me say this. Who all's here that failed God this past week? There are those that raise their hands, and then there's everybody else that lied about it, right? I mean, everybody failed God. Let me tell you what He wants you to do. He wants you to repent, and He wants you to go forward in that forgiveness and do. And so if we messed up yesterday, He wants us to repent today and go forward. If you had a bad week, He wants you to repent and go forward. What happens is we want to stay in our sin, and we want to stay in that pity, and we want to wallow in that guilt and shame, and that's what the devil wants, but that's not what God wants. He wants you to repent and go on and move forward for the cause of Christ. Now, there was another son here. He came to the second son and said, "Son, I need you to go work in the field." You know what this son said? He's so good. He said, "I'll go, sir." Wasn't that good? He even said, "Sir." "Yes, sir, I'll go." And then he didn't go. Right? Now, why would somebody say, "Yes, sir, I'll go. Sign me up. Give me an invite card. Throw it in the back seat when you drive away from church." Why would somebody say, "I'll do it," and then not do it? Well, I'd say a couple of reasons on that. Number one, to most of us, appearance matters. Appearance matters. What other people think of us matters. To most of us. Some of us don't really care, but most of us care what other people think. And we care that people think we're faithful, and we care that people think we're spiritual, and we care that people, think that we want to get along and we want to serve and we want to do right and all this. And so sometimes appearance matters to most of us. I mean, nobody here wants to come to church and have everybody think that you and your spouse fight all week long. Nobody wants that. We want to appear like, "Hey, we got the greatest marriage in the world." And I guess what, you know what, I told my children this morning, and don't you love the preacher who tells the children stories from the pulpit? I'm sure the children love it. But we mowed the grass yesterday and weeded everything, and we're hoping that's the last time we've got to do it for the season. And I come out the front, come out of the house to go to church this morning, and there in the yard, it looked like a golf course out here yesterday, man. It was beautiful. There in the yard, there's a blanket thrown out in the yard. There's a couple of cans. There's this, that. I had to get them. I said, "Did y'all just say, 'Oh, look, Dad cleaned the yard. Let's go throw trash in the yard so everybody can pull up to church today and say, look at Brother Derek's yard.'" Appearances matter. We want you to think we live in a golf course and everything is beautiful here, even though we know it's not, right? Like we tell the kids, "Throw all the stuff in your room so everybody will come here and think that at least the front of the house is clean," right? Appearances matter. I think another reason why they might have said that they were going to do it and then didn't do it is because of this. And everybody here can relate to this. I think that he might have had good intentions. You know what people do here every week? They come here and they hear the message. And the Holy Spirit of God, through the word of truth, speaks to them. How many of you, being honest, have came to church, said in your heart, "I'm leaving here and I'm going to do better. Bless God, I'm going to do better." And it didn't work out. You intended to. You wanted to. You wanted to do better. You intended to do it. And then you didn't. I don't think anybody's going to take an invite card saying, I'm going to take this and I'm going to throw it down as soon as I get out of it. I think you're going to say, hey, I'm going to go and invite somebody. And then maybe something happens and you don't do it, right? I'm going to read my Bible this week. Oh, alarm clock went off. Or instead of hitting snooze, I cut it off. Then I woke up and ran to work, right? Good intentions. And so here's how some of them people are, right? Why they didn't go. Some people are just fakes, okay? Again, appearance matters. They want to be fake. I remember one time we had a guy, you know, we go to a Christian school. We had a guy, he was a preacher. And did y'all see the air quotes? Y'all missed that. So anytime like other preachers or stuff or revival would happen or something like that, like, and we're at school and he would want to have his Bible out, like, I'm reading my Bible, you know. And then he, you know, really wasn't trying to read his Bible. He wanted people to see him read his Bible. I've seen people that's like, oh, we need to pray and we need to, and they're just fake. Now, I would say this about fake people. They're few and far between. Most people's not fake. I would say this about the people here. Most people here is not fake. I think most people here got good intentions. Stuff doesn't work out, right? That doesn't mean you're a fraud, okay? If you have good intentions and you come say, I want to do right, and you ended up not doing it, it doesn't mean that you're a sham and a fraud and get rid of you. Now, that's what the devil tells you. Look at you, you fake, phony fraud. Say you're a Christian. Say you're going to do right and don't do right. It means that you had good intentions and something happened. You say, well, what happened? Well, a couple of things. Number one, I think some people underestimate how hard it's going to be. You ever done that? I've done that plenty of times. Hey, look, all you got to do is, well, there's more to it than that, right? I remember Brian installed his own pool, an in-ground pool. Doesn't that sound like something you want to do? And I asked him one time, I said, why didn't you just do a concrete pool? I said, don't all you do is just dig a hole and pour the concrete in it? He said, well, yes, that is basically what you do, but there's a lot more to it than just digging a hole and pouring concrete in there, right? That's what some people think Christianity is. Well, don't you just do this? Yes, that is what you do. A little more to it, a little harder, you know, a little harder than that. So some people underestimate how hard it's going to be. And then who can relate to this? I think you get this here. You had good intention. Has anybody else in here ever got distracted? Your focus went on something else. I'm going to do this. Boom, I'm distracted. We're going to start coming to Sunday school. Boom, distracted. I'm going to start doing better. Distracted. The world is full of distractions. And can I tell you this? Everybody listen to this warning. Everybody that's here today, listen to this warning. You might get distracted next Sunday. You woke up, had a flat tire, decided, hey, we won't go to church. We'll change the flat tire. You woke up, you got a pile of laundry. We ain't going to go to church. We'll do laundry. That's okay, good, whatever. When you get distracted, you can wake up and you be a couple months down the road. You can miss reading your Bible one day. Next thing you know, you hadn't read it in 28 days. It can happen. It happens to us, you know. I try to journal at night. Isn't that something? I try to write a little journal down. What happened today and what's going on in my life and different things. And this is my journal entry sometime. Been a while since I've been here. Haven't seen you in a while, journal. But I'm back today, right? Because you can get distracted and time can get away from you. And next thing you know, oh, I hadn't done it all week. I hadn't done it 2 weeks. And so be careful about that. Now, here's what Jesus said quickly as we got to go. He said, who was better? Right? Who was better? The one who said he wouldn't but did, or the one who said I will but wouldn't and didn't do? They said the first. They said the first. And can I tell you, our proclamation is not nearly as good as our performance and what we need to do. Actions matter more than words. Actions matter more than words. You can tell me you love me all you want to. You know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to show me that you love me. God says that too in His Word. And there are some people I like to say can win the press conference. Y'all ever seen that? I like sports, and man, they be people get hired as football coaches and stuff, and they win the press conference. They get behind the old. I know people in my own life that can win the press conference. They tell you what they're going to do. They can tell you how to do it. And then the press conference is over, the lights go out, and it's Monday morning, time to go to work, and they're like, oh, I don't like that. I like the press conference better than the performance. Your performance matters more than the press conference. And so what we need to do, what we need to take home with us is this, is that we need to act now. We need to act now. Perform today. Perform today. Read your Bible today. Pray today. Witness today. Invite today. Do now. Because I got news for you. Let me tell you what I've learned as the pastor of a church. You know what matters? It matters what you do now. You can't live off what you did last year. We can't live off what we did a year ago. We got to perform today. There is no equity. There is no benefit of the doubt. There is no built-in. Do now. And so, let's don't talk about it. Let's don't say what we're going to do, not going to do. Let's just do. Do. And if you messed up, if you said before, I'm going to do, and didn't, God's given us another day. He's given us another day to come and say, I'm going to do better. And you know what God wants you to do today? He wants you to do better. You know what He wanted out of both those sons? To go into the fields and work. That's what He wanted. That one said I ain't, one said I will, one went, one didn't go. He wants us to go. All else doesn't matter. So, man, I've had a bad week. I've had a bad month. I haven't been doing good. Okay. He repented and He went. You know what you need to do today? You need to repent. You need to go. You need to go and begin to walk with God. You need to begin to read your Bible. You need to begin to come to church and get plugged in. You need to, hey, whatever you want to do, begin to do it now. Begin to witness. Begin to do the work that God's called us to do. It's hard work. It's a laborious work. It's not easy. But we need to do it. So repent today and begin to do. Amen. Why don't you stand with us as our song leader is going to come and our piano player is going to come. A time for us to get right. And you can pray a prayer like this today. God, it's me again. And I'm back. And I want to do better. And my desire, my heart is to move forward doing better.
Page number 244. Page 244.